When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
I want to give you several images, and I want you to memorize a word. Last night, I spoke about ulul azm, those that possess great determination from the messengers of Allah. The word that I want you to memorize bi-ithnillahi ta'ala is the word tamkeen. Tamkeen. For tonight bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Tamkeen. And I'll explain to you what tamkeen is. But before that, a concept that we learn from our religion and the stories of the messengers of Allah and the great people of the past, that hard times make great people. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjects certain individuals to difficult trials so that they can be a source of ease for generations after them without inflicting upon them difficulty, because they never lose the perspective that they gained from the patience that they showed in their most difficult moments. A few images for you to consider. There was a great companion by the name of Utbah bin Ghazwan, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He is, according to some biographers, possibly the seventh person to embrace Islam. And they take that from a famous narration. One of the earliest Muslims. And Utbah, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, is responsible for much of Iraq coming into Islam during the time of Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He's the brother-in-law of Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu, eventually the brother-in-law of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. A quiet, great companion who puts his head down and gets to work. And he was giving khutbah later on in life as he was the emir of Basra in Iraq, the leader of a great city. And as he's standing on the minbar, he says, I remember when I was the seventh of seven. And he started to recall the moments of being boycotted in Mecca with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, and I remember when the only thing that we could find to eat were from the thorny bushes, al-hubla. And when we ate those thorns, it punctured our gums and caused our mouths to swell. But that was all we had to eat in the embargo and the starvation that we were facing. This sounds very familiar to you, doesn't it? And as the food was not coming through to the valley of Abu Talib, I remember when myself and Sa'd ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu went out and we did not have a garment to clothe ourselves. And so what we had to do was to take one garment, one sheet, and tear it into two. And each one of us wore whatever we could to cover our private parts of those sheets. And he says, and today, there's not a single one of us that is alive, except that he is a governor of a city under the Muslims. Every single one of us from those seven that lived in that tribulation today is an emir, is a leader of a city under the Muslims. Can you imagine? Because we always think of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, this flag bearer of justice. But if you were to walk into Basra, or walk into Kufa, or walk into Damascus or walk into this city or that city. You were constantly seeing a person who was leading you that spent time in prison, spent time in exile, spent time being tortured, lived through starvation, lived through persecution, and now they are the ones who are making decisions on behalf of an expanding global ummah. That also sounds familiar to you, I'm sure, in South Africa, with the great Nelson Mandela, who of course comes out of prison after over 2 decades. And what that prison life does to inform the perspective of a leader after is not unique to Madiba. It's a historical precedent that we find that great people are put through the most difficult of moments so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can grant them tamkeen. The word that I mentioned that I hope you will all remember from now on bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And Utbah goes on and he says, وَأَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ أَكُونَ عَظِيمًا فِي نَفْسِي وَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ صَغِيرًا. And I seek refuge in Allah from being great in my own eyes and being puny in the sight of God. I'm not sharing this with you to boast. I'm sharing this with you to say that all of those leaders that you see under Umar ibn al-Khattab have been through things that you could not imagine. And he's saying, and as time goes on, you will find rulers that will depart from the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that will manifest other than what we learned from our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we are living this time right now that'll get further away from the prophetic methodology in every aspect of life. If you think of Yusuf alayhi salam, we know Yusuf alayhi salam as a leader after all of the trials and the difficulties that he went through. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَذَٰلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسَفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, that it was through that we established Yusuf on this earth. The way that Allah describes it is tamkeen. Can you imagine Yusuf alayhi salam now sitting on the throne in Egypt? What will the policy of Yusuf alayhi salam be towards the prisoners under him? What will the policy of Yusuf alayhi salam now be towards those who are enslaved? What will the policy of Yusuf alayhi salam now be towards those who have false testimony borne against them? What will the policy of Yusuf alayhi salam be to the wayfarer and the lost? What will the policy of Yusuf alayhi salam be to the single grieving mother or father who has lost a child? Don't you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only elevated the rank of Yusuf alayhi salam through the difficulties that he went through, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Yusuf a better leader as a result of what he went through? Because he doesn't just see from the throne. He has seen life from the well. He has seen life through the chains. He has seen life through the bars of a prison cell. He's seen it from all of those perspectives. It made him something. The image of Yusuf from prison to the throne. The image of Utbah and those companions from being boycotted to taking Islam through the entire world and being established in positions as ministers and leaders on this earth. The position of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, I used to wonder, why did Jibreel alayhi salam squeeze the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so hard when he brought the message to him that he almost took the life of the Prophet ﷺ through the difficulty of that squeeze. The Messenger of Allah ﷺ said that when the angel Gabriel squeezed me, I thought I was going to die because of how hard his hug was. Was it to cause distress to the Prophet ﷺ? No. As the scholars mentioned, it was a sign, إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا, that we are about to impart upon you a heavy word. That what you're about to receive is going to require a certain level of strength. It's not going to be easy on your heart to receive the Quran initially. But our Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes from a place to where initially the revelation of the Quran causes him great difficulty, to the point that he starts to miss the next revelation and the next revelation and the next revelation. It was initially a squeeze, and then it came with ease. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. That if we were to reveal this Quran onto a mountain, you would have seen that Quran flattened out of the awe of Allah. You know what Allah also says? إنا عرضنا الأمانة على السماوات والأرض والجبال فأبين أن يحملنها وأشفقنا منها وحملها الإنسان إنه كان ظلوما جهولا. That we proposed this amana, this trust, to carry the sacred word to the heavens and the earth and the mountains, and they refused to carry this burden. وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ. But man bore the burden. And no one bore the burden more than our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can you imagine what it was like for his heart to receive a word that could flatten mountains? Where Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions that one time I was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was leaning against me, and then the revelation came to him suddenly, and my leg was under the leg of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's body physically became so heavy that I thought I was going to lose my leg. Asma radiallahu anha says, when the revelation came on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was riding a camel one time, and the knees of the camel buckled. It almost broke the knees of the camel, but it did not collapse the heart of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You receive with difficulty, and then you grow, and something happens after that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trains you for something greater and puts you in a position to do more and to be a source for people. Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala was asked this question. He was asked, is it better for a servant of Allah to be tested, yubtala, aw yumakkan, or to be established with power? Is it better for the slave of Allah to be oppressed and to go through difficulty, or to be in a position of power, tamkeen? And you know, you ask yourself this question because, let's face it, sometimes the best version of ourselves comes out only in the worst of circumstances, and we forget, once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delivers us from our difficulties, who we actually are. So is it better to stay in a situation in which you are suffering and struggling and going through great trials and learning patience, or is it better to be in a position of ease and power? And he responded and he says, لا يمكن حتى يبتلى. He said it's neither or. You will not actually be established in power until you are put through test by which you endure. And he said, have you not seen ulul azmi min ar-rusul, those that possess great determination from the messengers of Allah? Nuh alayhi salam was tested. Ibrahim alayhi salam was tested. Musa alayhi salam was tested. Isa alayhi salam was tested. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was tested. فَلَمَّا صَبَرُوا مَكَّنَهُمْ. When they were patient with what Allah put them through, Allah established them in power, in victory. The word is what? What's the word? Tamkeen. It's a very particular word of establishment. And interestingly enough, when you look through the Quran, the way that Allah uses that word can be one of warning of a postponed trial or one of reward for a trial that has already passed. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to the pharaohs of the world, the tyrants of the world, مَكَّنَّاهُمْ, that we gave them tamkeen on this earth, but أَهْلَكْنَاهُمْ, we destroyed them. And why did we destroy them? Because what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here of مَكَّنَّاهُمْ here, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma says, أَيْ أَمْهَلْنَاهُمْ, we delayed their punishment. They thought they had power, but they were actually being deluded by the idea of power. They were not righteously established on this earth. They were given the illusion of power by which they betrayed their human responsibilities. And as a result of that, they failed the test and they found that they returned to the one who actually has power, being Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they faced the consequences of their delusion. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to the believers, makkannahum means amkathnahum. We have firmly established them on this earth in righteousness. And everything that you go through in life under trial is meant to prepare you for a moment later on by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can unlock something far greater from you. But la yumakkan hatta yubtala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not establish you until He puts you through a test of endurance to see what you're really made of, to see if you're capable. And for many, when they're in the midst of the test, when they're in the midst of the trial, they are focused entirely on surviving the trial and not looking forward to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put ahead of them. And so their entire existence becomes about, how do I get through this without buckling under pressure? Rather than, how do I channel this to unlock perspective in this world and paradise in the next? To be the best person that I possibly can for my ummah. How do I channel this into determination? How do I live and exemplify what those people exemplified? So that even if I'm not put through the prison to palace pipeline, I'm put through a test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving me an opportunity to have a reward that I otherwise would not have been able to have in the hereafter. And Allah is giving me a lens to this world that I otherwise would have never had. I wouldn't have understood it if I didn't go through it. Can you imagine the refugee policy of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? They all lived life in exile. They all went through the most difficult circumstances of those who would then be subjected to their power. And so they had perspective. They saw life through that very particular lens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. That we made from them imams. Now, by the way, the word imam means that you are a leader. يُقْتَدَى بِالْخَيْرِ أَوْ بِالشَّرِ. You are a leader in evil or in good. You are followed in evil or in good. You know when we say that Gaza has become the moral compass of the world? Gaza has become the moral compass of the world. An imam as an individual and an ummah that emanates from that same spirit is supposed to set the direction for humanity and be followed in good. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا. We made from them imams that would guide by our commands, that understand the seriousness of the affair that they have in front of them. And they guide people right. But Allah says, we gave them that gift of being able to guide right. لَمَّا صَبَرُوا, when they were patient, وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ, and they were certain in our signs. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma says that the two ingredients of leadership are mentioned here. Number one, patience. Number two, conviction. Yaqeen, certainty. He said that the greatest leaders that have ever walked the face of the earth combine these two qualities. Let's examine this a bit, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. لَمَّا صَبَرُوا, and in one qira'ah, لِمَا صَبَرُوا, when they were patient or because they were patient. The meanings are very close to each other. لِمَا صَبَرُوا means Allah rewarded them as a result of their patience. Because when you are patient in the midst of difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala builds for you palaces in paradise that you can't see. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you perspective that allows you to see in this world what you previously could not see. That's why the Prophet ﷺ says, وَمَا أُعْتِيَ أَحَدٌ عَطَاءً هُوَ خَيْرٌ أَوْسَعٌ مِنَ الصَّبْرِ, that no human being is given a gift greater and more expansive than patience. Patience is the greatest gift that Allah can give you. It expands your perspective and it expands your paradise. So لِمَا صَبَرُوا, Allah gave it to them as a result of their patience. لَمَّا صَبَرُوا, Allah gives it to them when they were patient. That Allah put them through a test of patience and then Allah found them worthy of leadership. وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ, and they were ever certain in our signs. You know, when they say that Gaza, or that what we are witnessing, comes down to attrition, what do you believe? Versus what do they believe? Where are you pulling from? When you have two people in a boxing ring, swinging away at each other, at some point, they have to dig deep into something that transcends the physical, the material. You all have heard of Muhammad Ali, Rumble in the Jungle, Muhammad Ali, George Foreman? Okay, I see Aerosol Ali, so I remember you actually drew the Rumble in the Jungle, right? Muhammad Ali and George Foreman. And if you read about or watch about that match between Muhammad Ali and George Foreman, Muhammad Ali's strategy was to basically let George Foreman beat him up until he got tired. Let him empty out his tank. And George Foreman used to hit you and you would just flatten right away. And so George Foreman talks about that fight and he says, throughout the match, I'm giving him everything that I've got. I'm punching him with everything that I have. And when I think I've given him my all, he wraps me up and he says in my ear, is that all you've got, George? So he's like, I'm so annoyed by this that I keep pushing him and punching and punching and punching and punching and punching. And then eventually the seventh round comes and he goes, is that all you've got, George? And I said, yeah, that's it. I've given you my all. Where does that come from? That's that inner strength. Someone is pulling from a well that you don't understand unless you pull from the exact same well. That's why the world never understood the Muslims. The Roman and the Persian Empire, the two great empires of the day, underestimated the strange small group of Bedouin Arabs mixed in with former slaves and former captives and people that didn't factor into global politics, because they looked at them and said, really? You all want to be taken seriously? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through this small group of people, brought the two great empires of the day to their knees. They didn't get it. What is it about you people? We have more machinery. We have more artillery. We have more soldiers. We have all of...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The supports of power and strength, what is it about you people? But when Khalid bin al-Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu walks up to you and talks to you, you're terrified of Khalid. Not because of the strength of Khalid, though he was a strong man, but because of the strength of the conviction in his words. These people really are not afraid of us. These people really can't be intimidated. These people really don't care. When Rabi'i ibn Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu entered into the palace of the most pompous man in the world at his time, Kisra. Kisra, who was the ruler of the Persian Empire, had the most lavish palace on the face of the earth. Was a man who had all of the glamour of a king who not only believed in material wealth, but who sought to dominate through material wealth. Everything about Kisra represented domination and power. Rabi' ibn Amr enters into the palace of Kisra and he sees his carpet and he comes riding a donkey. And he has his spear, and as he walks through the carpet, he drags his spear, tearing up the carpet of Kisra. Walks right up to him, stands in front of his throne, completely unintimidated. And he says, "Who are you?" And Rabi says the famous words, "Inna Allah ta'athana li nukhrij al-ibad min ibadati al-ibad ila ibadati rabb al-ibad." وَمِنْ ضِيقِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَى سَعَةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَمِنْ جَوْرِ الْأَدْيَانِ إِلَى عَدْلِ الْإِسْلَامِ. We are a people who Allah has sent to take people from being slaves to other slaves, to being slaves to the Lord of all slaves. To take people from the constriction of this world, to the expanse of this world and the hereafter. To take people from the injustice of all other systems to the justice of Islam. The biographers of Rabi, they say that when he said that, can you imagine the prison guards and the subjects of Kisra that were observing, because Kisra was not the only audience that were listening to Rabi speak when he said that, said, "Whoa, what is that?" You had men that were standing there around Kisra that would say, "Yes, sir," for 40, 50 years and not look up at him. Who is this man that dares speak to Kisra that way? You see, that was the confidence that Islam put in these people, because Rabi knew that there was nothing you could do to me. If you did to me as was done to Amr ibn Fuhayra, where you put a spear through me, I would say, "Fustu Rabb al-Kaaba," I have succeeded by the Lord of the Kaaba. And if you take heed of the words that I have spoken to you, then I am like Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu when he comes into Jerusalem, also in a place of power. SubhanAllah, look at the contrasting images. Rabi came in as a man in danger. Umar came into Jerusalem as a quote-unquote conqueror without shedding blood but bringing justice. But he came in the same fashion as Rabi went into the palace of Persia. Stitched up clothes, completely humbled, not looking to put on a pompous display. "I don't perform for you. I seek paradise. I seek something greater than what you have to offer me." So when Rabi says this to the face of a tyrant, he's not just speaking to the tyrant. He's speaking to those that have been told their entire lives that submitting yourself to the tyrant is the only way that you can exist in this world. It's like Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Mecca, when he heard the message of Islam, Ahad, one. His whole life he'd been told, even if not in these exact words, that your God is the man who holds the whip over your head. Ahad, ahad, one. And that transformed him. It unlocked something. وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. They were certain in our signs. They had conviction in that which was beyond. And so you couldn't crush their spirit in this world because they didn't live for this world in the first place. لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. They had certainty. I'm going to put this forward, that the enemy still does not understand the people of Gaza. The Zionists don't get Gaza. The person that sits in a beach resort in Tel Aviv on top of a graveyard of the indigenous Palestinians who were murdered 7 decades prior does not understand what they're seeing on their screens of the children of Gaza, even though they exist only 60 miles away from them. They don't get them. The soldiers who come into our lands with the most sophisticated of American weaponry and seek to psychologically torment, physically dismember, emotionally destroy, don't understand why we won't just leave. They don't get it. Because they don't act from the same place that we act. They don't pull from the same well that we pull. They don't understand the Lord that we worship, and so they don't understand our worship. They don't understand what it means to be rooted because they were brought in on the backs of tanks, not grown from the land, knowing who the Lord of the worlds was. They don't get us. They don't understand the Palestinians. And I say this based on this ayah, that the people of Gaza are the imams of the world right now. If you say a'imma, that the word imam means someone who leads, they are the imams of the world right now. If Gaza is the moral compass of the world, the people of Gaza are our imams. They're the leaders of khayr. And you know what's interesting? Allah says in Surah Al-Qasas about Fir'aun and his people, وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَدْعُونَ إِلَى النَّارِ. We made them two imams who call to the fire. Pharaoh is a school whose students have existed in every generation. And just like Pharaoh, they all eventually fall. They all eventually come to collapse. And Allah makes an example out of their evil when they seek to become immune by their illusion of power. Pharaoh is a school. Pharaoh was an imam of the people like Benjamin Netanyahu that we see today and those that came before him. Pharaoh is their imam. The people of Gaza are our imams because they follow Imam al-Huda, the Imam of guidance, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who's a school of perseverance, a school of not losing yourself, a school of not losing sight of the people, a school of internalizing hard times in the best of ways. You know one of the most beautiful things about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is that his character was completely undisrupted by circumstance. What does that mean? Imam al-Qurtubi rahimahullah says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was tested with poverty, he was tested with wealth, he was tested with barely surviving. He was tested with power, he was tested with oppression. He was in exile, he was a conqueror, opening Mecca once again. He lived through every circumstance, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you know what? There is not a Meccan Muhammad and a Madani Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's all just Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Always as beautiful in every circumstance that was put before him. He doesn't change. He just manifests a new layer of beauty with every circumstance that comes to him. We have to look at ourselves and dig deeply in the moment that we are in right now and ask ourselves, what is Allah showing us in the circumstances that we are in right now, and what is Allah showing us through the circumstances that we are witnessing right now? What is Allah trying to unlock within us through the circumstances that we are in? What is my meter of sabr and yaqeen, of patience and yaqeen, that makes me worthy of being from the ummah of Imam al-Huda, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And I tell you this, for each and every single one of us, and I'll actually, subhanAllah, I'll say this and I'll be a bit vulnerable here. Every Palestinian in the world that I know has some level of survivor's guilt right now and wonders why Allah did not put us in the situation that He put the people that are literally of the same blood as us through. I have in my Google search, the news alerts, when my name is mentioned in one of the articles, I get an email that's sent to me that this article just mentioned you, this article just mentioned you. And it's usually about 9-10 Islamophobia articles and Zionists that are writing their next smear piece. And subhanAllah, I remember Umar Suleiman, a child in Palestine killed. And then another Umar Suleiman, a child in Palestine killed. And I asked myself, like, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take me out of that situation? My father was born 5 years before Israel. He is older than your state. As we remind the Zionists, he was born in Palestine in 1943. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him through a journey where he ended up in Houston, where he met my mother, may Allah have mercy on her, who was born in 1951 in Damascus. Because of what had transpired in 1948, but had come back to live in Jerusalem for some years, my parents met in Houston, Texas, of all places. I was born and raised in the belly of the empire that kills my people. I ask myself that question all the time. Why? Why am I here? And I also recognize that if you're a Muslim and you deeply have internalized the meaning of ummah, and you see your own children, your own parents, your own spouses, and those people that are being shred to pieces in Gaza, sometimes maybe you ask yourself too, why am I here? What am I doing in Johannesburg? Why did this become my career path? Why am I not doing this or that? Why did Allah put me in this situation? And if you're a human being of conscience, of empathy, and I know that we have some people who are not Muslim who are in this audience that have stood with us on the cause of Palestine, and we are grateful to you. You're wondering, why them? Why am I here? And I want you to recognize that Allah has customized for you a path to bring out the best version of you. If you don't respond to the set of circumstances that Allah gave you, that's not because Allah gave you a bad plan. That's because you did not respond to the plan in the way that you were supposed to respond to it. You talk about leaders in the ummah and how pathetic they are, the betrayal and the abandonment that we feel, and indeed we feel abandoned by those who hold the thrones in this ummah today. And we should not mince words about it. But I have to ask myself a question. If Allah put me in that circumstance, would I do the exact same thing that they're doing? I don't know. I could respond with an immediate, riveting, no, absolutely not. I would never be like them. But Allah did not test me like He tested them. I wasn't put on the throne of a country near Palestine. I don't know. I hope I wouldn't be like them, but I can't say with certainty that I wouldn't be like them, nor can you. You look at someone that has more money than you and more position, that could say something, that could do something, and you say, if I was in that position, I would do this, I would say that. Are you sure? You look at your imams, you look at an activist, you look at a person of prestige, you look at a person of means and you say, if that was me, are you sure if that was you, that you would act any differently than them? You can't be. Instead, you have to look at yourself and look at the circumstances that you have and ask yourself, Ya Allah, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? But here's the thing. It's one thing to ask the question, what do you want from me? It's another thing to commit yourself to the program once you start getting answers through sincere inquiry. And actually put yourself through difficulty for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make sacrifices rather than indulge in complacency and comfort and yell at a TV screen or yell at your phone. You have to push yourself out of that. Allah will give you answers. You have to act upon those answers. I said, remember the word tamkeen. Tamkeen is to be firmly established on this earth. True righteous leadership. True tamkeen comes when you have the ingredients of righteousness through difficult circumstances and prove yourself worthy with those circumstances of being different than those that you challenge today. Allah has promised this ummah greatness. I want all of us to recognize something, that Palestine will be freed, not because of our efforts, but because Allah promised it. They could make all the AI videos that they want of blowing up Masjid al-Aqsa, and they will have their moments of oppression, and they will have their moments of suppression. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wa umli lahum inna kaydi mateen." Let them know that they are being led on a path of their own eventual destruction. Inna kaydi mateen. My plan is intact. It will be freed. In our lifetime, I hope so. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Through somewhat of our efforts being blessed by Allah, I sincerely hope so. But I don't need that to happen to know that it will happen, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised it. When we seek tamkeen in our circumstances, to be firmly established in our lives, in righteous leadership, we go back and we put ourselves in the situation and say, what right now am I doing with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to me? And you know what, dear brothers and sisters? In the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, there are a lot of other actors. There are the brothers who maybe thought that it wasn't the best idea to throw him into the well, but they kept silent and they went along with the older brothers. There were those, sharahu bi thamanin bakhsin darahima ma'duda, those who, when they picked him up out of the well, decided to turn him into a possession rather than seek out where he was lost. There are those that chose to slander even though they knew that he was innocent. There are those that chose to remain silent when he was being slandered so that they would not put themselves in the line of fire of the people in power. There were those who chose to tighten up the chains or loosen the chains for him in prison, give him a little bit more food or give him a little bit less food. There were those who were in the prison with him that came out and either forgot him or remembered him. There were those who played supporting roles in oppression or injustice. When there was Mecca and Medina, Quraysh and the Prophet ﷺ and his people, there were the tribes on the outside that were watching that weren't directly parties to the conflict, but they chose to become so, either on the side of good or evil. When the Prophet ﷺ was boycotted and put under siege, there were Muslims who said, or who could have said, I'm not Banu Hashim and Banu Muttalib, and so I can avoid the severity of this boycott and live comfortably in my home. And there were good non-Muslims that said, this is an injustice and we have to stand up for them even if we don't believe in what they believe. There were those like Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha that chose to put herself in the boycott, even though she could have lived the most comfortable life in Mecca with everything that was happening, and paid with it for her life. Dear brothers and sisters, it's not just David and Goliath. It's not just the Zionists and the Palestinians. It's not just the people of Gaza and the tanks that are coming in. It's every single one of us that will be asked where we stood in this moment of history. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the people of Gaza what He's made them through much difficulty, unimaginable difficulty. And they are of an unimaginable rank, partly due to the unimaginable trials that they've been through. They know exactly why they're here. And that's why they can be patient. They see past the bombs that are falling on them. They look up at the skies. And even though the skies are full of bombs, they see beyond the skies. They look around them and they can't find food. But they know that there's a sustenance that exists that's far greater than the sustenance of this world. They look at their own limbs missing, body parts all over the place. And they know that they are souls before bodies. And they live in accordance with that. Who are they and who are you? And why did Allah put you in this circumstance? Why are you sitting here and not on the screen? It's a question that we have to ask. And through sincere inquiry comes divine guidance. And through divine guidance comes prophetic action. And through prophetic action comes the outcomes that Allah has promised this ummah through our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unlock in us that which is most pleasing to Him with the circumstances that He's given to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to see what He wants us to see in everything that we are going through, and to act in a way that He wants us to act with everything that He's given to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make of us through these hard times a truly great people. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be with our imams, the people of Gaza, and celebrate with them in this life and in the next with our imam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.